Good morning. If you would, join me in John chapter 14. John 14. We're going to read one verse of scripture, verse 27. John 14, 27. Our Lord said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Over the last little bit of time, I've had the opportunity to visit with friends and brethren from other congregations, some of whom have visited with us here. And in these visits, oftentimes the conversation will turn to the relationship we have with one another, a relationship that is observed when folks visit this congregation, this ministry. And one particular comment that has stuck with me went something like this: as an outsider looking in at your relationship, you have unity. You're at peace. To which I responded, as an insider being there, what you've observed is what we have. I know from Gabe's prayer Wednesday night that the topic of peace is not limited to just my consideration. The relationship that the Lord has been pleased to give us, to bless us with, this peace and this unity that we have in this congregation. Do we realize just how precious that gift is? Another common phrase I've heard from others who have a little more experience than I do in these matters when talking about this relationship, this peace and unity that we have, is the phrase, guard it, protect it, be aware of it. Do we realize just how uncommon this gift is, this blessing is, even among other churches that the Lord has raised up? There are congregations I've known and heard of growing up that at one time it was said of them, as an outsider looking in, you have peace. There's unity there. But it's not said anymore, as sad as it is. How I pray the Lord will continue to bestow this peace upon this assembly for many years to come. Now, as I thought upon this peace and on its fragility, I started considering the responsibility that I have. How can I labor to protect this peace? This is a personal responsibility to me. What can I do to ensure that this peace stays here? And as I thought on this, I came to three conclusions. I can learn about peace. I can learn what happened to the peace. historically, what is it that broke the peace? Where did it go? How was it lost? And how was that peace restored? I first concentrated on peace. What is peace? And as I started studying, I realized I asked the wrong question, as I do so very often. What is peace is not the question. Peace is a person. Who is peace? Peace is our Lord Jesus Christ. Six times in the New Testament, God, the holy, sovereign God, is acknowledged by the title, the God of Peace. We just read our Lord's words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Christ Jesus, God the Son, is the God of peace. Shall we have peace with God? Only in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with one another. Not a stick-on peace, not a peace that we put on a show, but a true peace, a deep peace, a peace with one another. Shall we have that peace? Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I set out to know. How can I labor to have peace, to guard the peace that's been blessed in this ministry? The first and likely only answer to this question is by looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. By learning more of him, by staying steadfast upon Christ and him crucified. In John 16:33, you can turn over there, it's just a couple pages. John 16:33, our Lord said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth, tribulation, the lack of peace, shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Peace is our Lord Jesus Christ alone. To have him is to have peace. Secondly, what happened to peace? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created him he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." One day, God and man dwelt in peace. God blessed them. And he gave to man all that he had need of. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And while man kept the law that is recorded over in chapter 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. As long as man did not eat of the fruit, as long as he kept the law, there was peace. But when Adam ate, when he broke the law, when the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life entered his heart, and he did eat, there was no peace. Psalm 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day. There is no peace. On one side is the thrice holy, angry God. On the other, sinful man, us. Our carnal mind is enmity. It is hatred against God. Adam sinned against God. He died, and in him we died. We, by nature, are dead to the things of God. In Adam, we lost peace with God. In Adam, we lost peace with one another. Look at the relationship and the unity, the peace Adam and Eve enjoyed before they died. Genesis 2, verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And then chapter 3, verse 12. This is their relationship after the fall. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. After the fall, Adam, through Eve, the woman he loved, he threw her under the bus. Her fault. It's not mine. She did it. Not me. This is the nature we inherit from our father. This is our nature. We are destroyers of peace. As I got into the story, or into the study, this is the point at which I began to get excited. This is when I realized I had a message. Thus far, we have fact. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is holy. God is angry with the wicked every day. We have who we are. We have who he is. Now, we get to see love in action. We get to see what great things the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Now we get to see how peace is restored. The carnal mind is enmity against God. God is angry with the wicked every day. How can peace be restored? Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Adam who transgressed, Adam who offended, Adam who broke the peace, did not go seeking to restore the peace, but he hid himself from the God of peace. It was God who had been offended, who went seeking the peace. Why? Why would God seek to make peace with a sinner? Why would he not cut him off as he did to Lucifer and the fallen angels? We read in John 3:16, For God so, that word so meaning in this manner, for God in this manner loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And in Romans we read, God commendeth, he put together, he united. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why didn't God immediately cut off sinful man? For love's sake. Love caused God to seek peace, but love for whom? For Adam, that fallen, rebellious creature? Not so much. Rereading Romans again, Paul gave us a great list of things, and then he said, of those things, they shall never be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In John 3:35, our Lord said, The Father loveth the Son. How does the Father manifest his love for the Son? By ensuring that all honor and glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of sinners. For the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, God sought out Adam after he sinned to restore the peace. For the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, God seeks out each of his lovingly elected and redeemed sinners to restore peace. Now, peace once broken was restored in love. But just how was that peace between God and rebellious sinners obtained? First, humbly. He who knew no sin, he who did no wrong, he who was transgressed against, came from his throne, left his glory behind, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. To obtain peace, the God of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, humbled himself so far as to not just come and dwell among sinful men, but to actually take upon his holy person the very sin and transgression that we are, and to bear the punishment which we heap upon our heads. The wages of sin is death. It's one thing to forgive and to restore peace, but consider this. We sin and transgress God's law moment by moment, over and over. Thank God. He who I continually sin against is patient and long-suffering. May the Lord give us this heart. Turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Lord, how oft shall I sin against you and you forgive me? Till seven times? Is there mercy left for me? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. The Lord has been gracious and merciful to me. Yet I remain in this sinful flesh, continuing to sin against him who is so good and kind to me. How patient and kind he is towards such a rebel. He continues to teach, to lead, to love, just as he did to Peter when he sent Cornelius to Peter. And Peter was taught, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Lord, give us this grace to be patient and kind to one another. Patience and long-suffering go hand in hand with forgiveness. To keep the peace, Lord Jesus Christ freely forgives those that the Father gave to him, those for whom he suffered, bled, and died for. Peter, on the night our Lord was taken, having so emphatically denied our Lord Jesus, and yet Christ freely, lovingly, graciously forgave him. Is it not so with us? As the Lord has freely forgiven our sin and transgression against him, shall we not quickly forgive those around us? Finally, to keep the peace, the offense, the transgression is covered. Proverbs 10, verse 12 says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In Hebrews 11, we read how Abraham went out, how Sarah conceived, and of many others. In Hebrews 11, There is no record of any doubt, any laughing, any Ishmael. In 2 Peter, we read the words, just Lot. The same Lot who before have so many failings recorded about him. Yet the love of God in Christ obtained peace. Just Lot. And he covered all the sins that would break the peace with his own blood. In closing, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. It's a sad thing to say. And if I haven't said it, I'll say it now. I'm sorry. It's a very sad thing to say. But if I haven't yet offended you, saving God's grace, preventing me from doing so, I will offend you. It's coming. It's my nature. It's who I am. And possibly even sadder, I probably won't even know that I've offended you. I'll do something that is just me that will offend you. When I offend, or if you somehow offend me, may we be reminded of how our Lord restored the peace when we had offended him. He sought out peace for love's sake. He humbled himself. Oh, what grief my pride causes. He gave himself. He bears patiently with us. He freely forgave and continues to forgive. Me, who has nothing to commend myself before him for forgiveness. And in shedding his precious blood, he covered our sins. When we offend, or when we are offended, may God give us the grace to remember who and what we are. We're sinners. Not a one of us is better than the other. Whose we are bought with a precious price. And over in verse 32 of Ephesians 4, when we offend or are offended, may God give us the grace to remember who we are, whose we are, in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I truly believe that the prayer of every one of us is that God would be pleased to continue to bless this ministry with his peace. To give us peace with one another, to give us peace with our brothers and sisters in other congregations, to give us peace in this community. Lord, please teach us more of Christ. Cause us to love him more, and in loving him more, we will find we have great peace. May the Lord bless us.